Thank you very much. And thank you to the choir for that wonderful bell choir on song. It's always nice to hear. This is the season of Epiphany. Now, Epiphany in the church is all about the revealing or the unveiling of Jesus as a king. And it starts with the Magi coming to Bethlehem to recognize and honor a newborn king, the newborn king of the Jews, for they've seen his star in the east and they've come to worship him. And then Epiphany continues with all kinds of revelation stories to show that Jesus really is this king, this savior, this Lord. Now, the word Epiphany is from Greek, and it's kind of morphed into our English language as a meaning for an aha moment, a moment of realization that can change our life and maybe change the life of others. There's a wonderful story about a young man who was dating a very attractive girl, and one Sunday after church, the two went out for a picnic. The young man had made arrangements to rent a rowboat, and his plan was to row to a small island on their favorite lake and enjoy a picnic lunch together, which he himself had prepared. Since he had been unaccustomed to making lunches, he had forgotten to pack a great number of things. And his attractive friend told him, "Well, it sure would be nice if we had some salt and some ketchup and some napkins." So without hesitation, that young man got into the boat, rowed back to shore to get those missing items. This routine occurred twice more that afternoon. He rowed back to shore to retrieve more items that she requested. So by the end of the extremely warm day, he had perspired so much that his new good suit was totally soaked with sweat. But he did realize something that afternoon. He realized there had to be a better way to go about this kind of task. And the young man's name, by the way, was Clarence Evinrude. And later we know that he developed the first outboard motor. And because of this event, an industry was born because a young man had fallen head over heels for a young woman who kept making requests of him. Now, I do need to add that she did become his wife. We call this aha moment that Clarence Evinrude had that hot afternoon that led to the invention of the outboard motor in the English language an epiphany, a moment of sometimes life-changing realizations. Now, this is the first Sunday in the church after the day of Epiphany, which is January the 6th, which celebrates the coming of the Magi to visit the Holy Family. So, let's look at it as a day for new understandings to happen in the new year, maybe some new beginnings, some new ideas about what it means to follow Christ. Not just New Year resolutions, which we have a tendency to break within a month or two. By the way, fitness clubs count on that a lot to make their money in January and February from all those resolutions we make. Now, aha moments are very common experience in human lives. We often ask of people who've had extraordinary accomplishments or who have overcome difficult circumstances, "Well, when was it that you first realized da-da-da?" For example, when was it that you first realized that help was on its way if you were desperate for help? Or being interviewed by a television reporter of a person who's just been rescued? Or perhaps in a different setting, when was it that you first realized that your life was empty and without meaning? Or maybe when was it you first realized that the Packers won? It's a familiar question. When was it that you first realized? the moment of realization, that aha experience, the time of an epiphany. What a powerful moment that can be. Go with me now back to 1888. None of us are here that lived in that time period, so it's safe for me to tackle that one. There was a guy named Alfred Nobel, who was the inventor of dynamite, the man who had spent his life amassing a fortune from the manufacture and sale of weapons of destruction, awoke to read his own obituary one day. Now, the obituary was printed as a result of a simple journalistic error. Alfred's brother had died, and a French reporter carelessly reported the death of the wrong brother. Can you imagine getting up in the morning and reading your obituary? Well, he was totally shocked by that, but also by what the newspaper had to say about him. He saw himself for the very first time, just like the world saw him, as the Dynamite King, a great industrialist who'd made an immense fortune from explosives. This, as far as the general public was concerned, was the entire purpose of his life. Now, none of his true ideals were recognized or given serious consideration in the obituary. He was, for all intents and purposes, simply a merchant of death. As he read his obituary with horror, he resolved to make clear to the world the true meaning and purpose of his life. That could be done through the final disposition of his fortune after he passed away. His last will and testament would be the way that he expressed those life's ideals. And the result has become one of the most valued of prizes given to those who have done most for the cause of world peace and world advancement. What a dramatic breakthrough of that moment of realization was for the man for whom the Nobel Peace Prize was named. Now, there are some biblical scholars who contend that our scripture lesson for today contains just such a moment of realization for Jesus, an epiphany, if you will, in the life of Jesus. To look at it simply as it sits in the Gospels, and it's in all the Gospels. He had gone out to hear his cousin, the fiery evangelist John the Baptist, preach in the wilderness. And when John finished preaching, there always was an invitation for people to be baptized. And that day, Jesus stepped forward. Now, we don't know what that baptism represented in Jesus' mind. Obviously, it was not for the cleansing from sin. Perhaps it was an act of identification with the call to righteousness that John was proclaiming. Whatever the reason, Jesus stepped down into the water and was baptized by John. And I think he knew exactly what he was doing. As our passage today from Isaiah shares, this was a big moment for the guy who was sent to earth to accomplish what Isaiah had prophesied. And he knew exactly what Isaiah had talked about, that there was going to be pain and suffering. There was going to be sacrifice. But he was supposed to be here to cleanse us all and to redeem us all. On our behalf, he went to the cross. He knew that, I think, as he was baptized. I can't prove that. I don't have an interview with him. But I think that was on his mind. He'd been studying scripture all his life. His father, Joseph, had done a great job with training him, as all good Jewish fathers would train their sons in the Torah and the Mishnah. He knew what he was doing. But at that moment, something else happened that was kind of an affirmation of what he was doing. While he was praying, says Luke, now how many times have we thought of Jesus as praying? Don't we usually pray to Jesus? But here we have him as a praying man as well as a scripturally based man. And the heaven is opened up. The Holy Spirit descends upon him in a bodily form like a dove. A dove symbolizing peace and blessing. Remember the dove of Noah's Ark, showing that the world was ready again to be inhabited, that there was going to be a new covenant, so to speak, with humanity and God, and now a new covenant is coming into being. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is really a whole new change for Jesus. This is like his ordination to ministry, like we celebrate today with the ordination and installation of deacons and elders and a commissioned person to serve the Lord's Supper. It's a day of change. It's an aha moment, if you will, a moment that will change everything. That's our hope. Time of realization for Jesus, a time of realization for us and those being ordained and installed today. And we know that these are important moments in our life. For example, when was it that we first realized the majesty of God? Was it the beauty of and grandeur of creation that first evoked that realization? For me, it was. For you, it probably has been too. I mean, how can you turn down beautiful sunsets and beautiful sunrises and rainbows in the sky as things that can bring awe to you and realize you've done nothing to create that, but there it is in all its grandeur? There was once an aged and scholarly minister with a flair for astronomy who spent the night on a California mountaintop with a group of young men from the church. It so happened that a little after midnight, two great stars came into conjunction in the sky, and the dear old man went from sleeping bag to sleeping bag, shaking them awake and shouting, "Get up! Get up! Don't miss this! Don't let the Almighty God put on such a great show as this is for just this old mule and me." When was it we realized the majesty of God? Perhaps it was at the birth of our first child or first niece or nephew or grandchild or great-grandchild. What greater miracle in all of creation is there than this, the birth of a new human being? And then we watch that child learn to smile and to make sounds, and we hope say our name, then to talk and to walk, and finally to grow into a mature person. Then we are led to this dramatic realization that maybe there's more to life than just physics and chemistry. Beyond creation, there's a creator. When was it you first realized that? Then the second question comes. When was it that we realized our own inadequacy to deal with life's critical issues and the lemons we sometimes get served in life? There's so much in life that we're unable to control, and we know it. There was once a humorous poem printed in the Golf Digest, of all things. It went like this. "I bought a set of brand new clubs and rushed out to the tee. The brand new clubs are really great, but I'm the same old me." I'm the same old me. That each of us could sing that sad refrain. We've a world of great intentions, but very little ever really changes. Not that we don't want it to. Not that we don't want change to be better. It's not that we don't have the natural gifts to do better, but somewhere in our own makeup, something is missing. So when was it we first realized that things were out of our control? Perhaps it was a time of crisis or great disappointment or sorrow. It comes to every one of us. We call it being between a rock and a hard place, or on the horns of a dilemma. We've all been there, and the cry comes bursting out of our lips or out of our hearts, "Oh God!" Often followed by, "Why me?" When was it we first realized that? Perhaps it was while we watched someone we love lay critically ill, or we remember all those promises that we made, all those good resolutions that we made. If only God would intervene. So when was it we first realized the majesty of God? When was it we realized our own being out of control? And finally, when was it we realized that we're God's own child? Not in the same way that Jesus did when he heard the voice from heaven saying, "You're my son whom I love," because his relationship with God was very unique. He was the Son of God. But didn't he teach us to pray, "Our Father"? Father here is Abba, which kind of means mommy, daddy. We have a very personal, intimate relationship with this God that he had, that he wants us to have. Oh, daddy, mommy. I too then am a child of the King, and so are you. Last week our theme was being adopted to be God's own child, being children of the King. Many of you know the writer C.S. Lewis, the great British writer who was very fearful of giving in to the demands of God, but finally there came his aha moment, his epiphany. He writes, "That which I greatly feared had at last come upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed." C.S. Lewis, who has influenced so many people around the world with his writings about God, came reluctantly to God, but the world was greatly blessed when he did. When I was in ninth grade, I was required to read C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. And friends, that was a major turning point in my life. If you get the chance, it's an oldie but a goodie. Get out C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity and read it thoroughly. You can't help but be changed. So, how is it with your life? How is it with mine? Do we realize that it can be a rich and beautiful dialogue between ourselves as God's children and God, our Abba? When was it we first realized the majesty of God? When was it we first realized that things were not under our control, that we needed a change of heart? And then when was it we really realized and understood that we are God's own child? Perhaps for someone here today, maybe it's happening just now, and that's great. If so, pray this prayer. "Lord, you are God. I need you. I can't make it on my own. I need for you to change my heart, change my priorities, change my purpose for living. Help me to bear the image of your Son, in whose name I pray. Amen." Happy Epiphany. May those great aha moments happen for you always. God's children. Amen.